and welcome to the Back to the Good Life podcast. My name's Nikki and...
My name's Mr. G.
And today we're going to be introducing ourselves, what we believe in, what our ethos is and why we are doing this. And let's jump straight in.
Okay. Do you want to start then?
I thought you'd say that. So, so my name's Nikki. I've been into self-sufficiency and being greener and trying to grow my own vegetables for ages. To be honest, I'm a bit rubbish at it. But when I moved here into the West Country from the southeast of England, where I used to grow, when I moved here to the West Country from the southeast of England, where I grew up, I had the opportunity to buy my own house, which has got a tiny little garden. And from there onwards, I've just kind of enjoyed growing stuff.
Kind of a postage stamp, really, isn't it, darling?
Yeah, it's definitely much more of a postage stamp than a garden. It's tiny. But we did quite well with what we've got in it, to be honest, quite surprisingly.
Yeah, and things can only get better with it anyway.
That's what the song says. Things can only get better. So, yeah, we're hoping it's going to get better, aren't we?
We are indeed. We are indeed. Well, I've always grown up in the West Country. I've been a bit of a countrified lad most of my life. A little bit of rural township as well. But, I've grown up with a little bit of livestock, rabbits and bees. A little bit of vegetable plots as it goes as well. But again, it's not so much in the adult years, but I'm slowly coming back to it. I mean, it's always something that's been quite close to the heart, considering it's much more of a slower, genteel pace of life.
I think that's the thing that we really agreed on when we got together, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That a much slower pace of life is kind of something we wanted to do.
Yeah. And not only that, in the future, bring a family into it as well.
Well, that's the idea, hopefully.
So, as a family unit, I mean, my grandparents always had themselves a small plot of land, a small holding as such. They kept themselves animals for rearing.
What animals did they have? I don't think you've ever told me.
Geese. I think they had a few goats as well along the way. I know it was always something that was always wanted to be done on a grander scale by my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
But opportunity, obviously, getting older, never really prevailed.
That is something that we're always worried about, isn't it? The kind of getting to the point where we go, actually, we're a bit too old for this.
To be
now.
Able to carry on. Yes.
It's something that my dad has recently been talking to us about the fact that he's wanted to do this for years, but is now at a point where he's just too old to do it. So it's become our dream,
brings
really.
A little, yes, it brings a little bit of realisation to it as well, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And I think that's the most important thing, isn't it? Like, you look at your life and you think, this is the only life we've got, and we've got to try and make it the best we can do. And what dreams and hopes do we really have for it?
And starting sooner rather than later.
Yeah. So, I mean, with that, we've got lots of plans in the next... definitely in the next couple of years, probably here in this house. We're going to grow our garden to be as best as it can be, which might take a bit longer than considering the fact that our soil is basically clay and nothing else, and it's tiny. We're going to invest in kind of vertical gardening as well, make use of all the space that we've got, which I think is probably the only way we can go, really, isn't it?
Yeah, so, I mean, placement of things is always going to be a bit of an issue anyway, isn't it, on such a small garden?
Yeah.
We're going to try and do the best we can with it. It's and see what the fruits of our labour provide.
Yeah, I mean, we can't have any livestock here at the moment, just because I think even chickens, the garden's just far too small for that. But it doesn't mean that we can't... I mean, my mum and dad have got a chicken. It's a long story. It's just the last one left. But I know that they probably want to get some more. So it's kind of... We'll try and get involved in that a little bit.
Yeah.
And we've got some other friends that have got some livestock in different places. So we're going to try and get used to going and seeing them a little bit.
Keep our hand in a little bit and see how we develop the ideas of being able to eventually have livestock of our own.
Yeah, I mean, I've had chickens for years. That's probably the only moving here is the only time in my life recently that I haven't had chickens. It's a bit weird not to see them running around the garden, in all honesty. But no, So it's just not just chickens. I want the whole lot. Pigs, goats, bees.
Bees. Probably bees are always cows, quite a good one.
Because I don't know anything about cows and sheep. That seems like full-on livestock.
It's more of a farming than a...
less homesteading, than homesteading, more farming. No, I think it's really good. Something that I'm really excited that we're going to do, and especially do it as a couple as well, which is always good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Especially with you by my side, my love.
Well, through thick and thin.
Yeah, as always. No, but it's not just the garden and the homesteading that we want to do. We've been very interested in the last few years about trying to live a greener, more sustainable lifestyle. I know that when you moved in, that was
something that was a bit of a shock
to you. Do you want to tell our dear audience about that experience?
Well, I was a plastic lover. Anything that was plastic bottled, pretty much it's been reduced down to one or two items. I know I'm still trying to be convinced to reduce that even further, but in the long run, yes, maybe.
Before he moved in, I just got very proud about the fact that I had a fully plastic-free bathroom. There was no mouthwash bottles, there was no toothpaste tubes. I've used solid soap, solid shampoo. I was so proud of it. Then he moved in and bought with him a shower gel bottle, mouthwash bottle. This is a tube of toothpaste. I finally got him to move over to a wheat straw toothbrush instead of a plastic one. So we're working on it. But we said the other day, we looked at that that company whose name I really can't remember. If I do remember, I'll put it in the description of the show notes. But it was that company that do the glass bottle gel toothbrush.
I wouldn't mind giving that a go. Rather. I'd say anything to reduce it.
Toothpaste, not toothpaper. But yeah, no, that'd be good. But I think having watched all the, you know, the David Attenborough programmes and that, it's kind of...
It's reinforced the idea, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has. And it kind of makes us think a lot more about what we use. I mean, there's only two of us as well. And do you think about how much rubbish and recycling? I mean, we try and put everything in the recycling, obviously, but think of how much we actually produce each week. It's quite scary.
Yeah,
or every 2 weeks is when they collect.
Yeah, it's still workable on being able to reduce it even further.
So I think the main thing for us is to try and reduce what we're using, and then anything that we can't reduce, try and use it as many times as possible, like reusing and repurposing.
Yeah, repurposing is always a good thing. I mean, so, for instance, packaged meats, the trays that they come in, I know that we use them as the planters.
I use them in the garden for practically everything. So I use the planters for the tray. Our meat trays come as seedling trays. And then once the seedlings are a certain height, they go to cloches on top of the seedlings. And then they just kind of get put back in the greenhouse. I think I've got some that are like about 4 years old and they're only just beginning to fall apart.
Start to fray. Yeah.
I think I actually shop for meat now in the best trays I can find. I look at them like seed tray, brilliant. So, yeah.
It's and going back to this sort of lifestyle as well, it's almost full circle really for me. It's definitely something that I think we should all be doing a little bit more of, no matter the size of the garden, whether it be small or big. It's something that we should hold a little bit more dear instead of buying a lot more produce from supermarkets. Mm-hmm. Even locally sourced food is a lot better an idea.
Yeah, well, we've got that odd box this week, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
And it's brilliant because it's rescued veg from that would have otherwise just gone to waste. And it's perfectly good. I mean, I've never had a purple carrot, but I'm quite excited to. I'm actually quite excited to cook with the purple carrots because I think they're going to taste carroty.
Just as carroty as normal.
But they're
going to
be purple.
Carrot.
Great fun. But no, I think it's. I mean, like they were. I think they said that there was too many of them, and then some other things were just too ugly. The butternut squash we got was marked down as too ugly, and it's like, but it looks and tastes just like a butternut squash.
why not eat it if it's just as good as anything else?
It's just going to go to waste, which is just crazy. I mean, especially the last year that we've just gone through with the, you know, the thing that we've just gone through, all of the illness and stuff. That's really highlighted that the supply chains are quite delicate, and, you know, food security wise, not only growing our own, but also using the stuff that doesn't look as pretty as possibly it should have done.
It doesn't need to look pretty to be eaten.
No.
It's all going to go the same way.
It's very true. It is very true. But even more than that, I mean, like, if you think about what we've been doing with the dehydrator recently, when we've been taking like the broccoli stalk that we're not going to eat.
Fantastic idea.
Yeah, I mean, it was so easy as well, wasn't it? To just chop up the bits, pop it in the dehydrator, powder it up, and then we've got super greens powder, especially for two people who don't really like greens all that much.
Well, we do our best.
No, we like some of them, but none of us are sitting there going, oh, yay, cabbage. It's just, as much as we try, it's not really something that either of us have been like, oh, tasty. But yeah, so making our own kind of super greens powder to put in everything. And again, that just keeps the broccoli stalk, for example, out of landfill, you know. And we can always grow things like spinach and cabbage and kale. I don't actually like kale at all, but dried and mashed up into powder,
you never notice the difference.
Yeah, it works perfectly well. We had that lovely toad in the hole the other day that had greens powder all in it, and it was, but you knew it was nice and healthy, which is really good.
It also adds, it just adds to the what we want to be able to continue doing. As I say, any wastage is not really wastage if you look at it properly.
No. And it's even better when you get like livestock as well, when you get chickens, because I mean, my mum and dad's chicken eats literally everything. Chips are her favourite. And for our American people, we mean potato chips, not
crisps.
Not crisps.
Or, no, it would be crisps for us.
Crisps for us, chips for them, I think. But yeah, no, chips are her favourite. She's very odd chicken, that one. But no, she eats everything. It's amazing. You can tell they're descended from dinosaurs when you see her eat.
Yeah, so on our future ventures, we really want to try and build ourselves a little homestead, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, ideally, I'd love to build a house, but I think that might be a future plan far in the future.
Stretch out of our capabilities at the moment.
At the moment, but there's always room for hope and learning.
Possibility.
I'll plan anything, me. As long as there's a spreadsheet involved, I'm there.
So as a homesteading, we really want to try and make it as self-sufficient as possible.
Yeah, I think also, like, as much as we can, investing in kind of green technology as well.
So it's important.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we've just switched our energy supplier. And
I think everybody's doing that.
I think everyone's done that, considering the UK has gone through a complete energy crisis recently. But no, we're now on zero carbon energy, which is really good. But I just kind of think, if we could generate our own energy, you know, we do a little bit of rainwater collection here and there, but
it's not a massive impact on what we could cut down or be able to just make ourselves, again, that much more self-sufficient without relying on fossil fuels.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we're going one of two ways with energy at the moment in the country. It's either going to be continue with fossil fuels or nuclear. And I don't see either of those as a long-term viable sort of project for our own fuel sources.
Well, it worries me then. Nuclear is a weird one because it is about as eco-friendly as we can get, like on
at
a
present,
whole country scale.
Yeah.
But it's just so dangerous. Like, there's one thing that goes wrong, and that's, well, we've seen it. We're not going to mention where, but there's obviously been a few accidents, and it's just, and unfortunately, that's human nature, and you can't get away from that. And I think that's quite scary. So,
being able to, I should say, be able to produce our own, it just helps that little bit more.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I think we could probably do our best with reducing what we're using at the moment. I mean, we've got the house building, you know, the lights go off when there's no one in the room and things like that. But even like switching to better, more energy efficient appliances and things like that when we've got the money to do so is a really good way to go.
It is, yes, indeed. I mean, the smaller bits just help much better along the way. It makes for bigger changes.
Well, I think, yeah, like, if you're thinking about yourself as a person and your own small family, if you think about, you know, your family as the centre of your world, which it kind of is, you know, what we do on a mini level is not going to change what everyone does. But if we can influence 10 people, and they can influence 10 people, and they can influence 10 people.
Trickle effect.
Yeah,
it's a massive thing.
Yeah, you suddenly got ripples out in the world, and the world shaped. And we've really noticed that in the last year, I think. Like the green agenda, they call it the green agenda in a bad way, but I think it's a good thing. And there's definitely conversations to be had around what's appropriate and what's doable. But definitely there's so many options now for greener options. And it's not that weird thing. You're not that weird person going into the supermarket going, nope, that one's in plastic. I'm not buying that one.
No. I mean, we're coming across new forms of packaging and things like that. There's a big furniture brand that has moved on to using fungus as polystyrene.
That's such a good idea.
Yeah, so it's out there for bigger companies. It just needs to come down to the smaller ones and people in general, so that we have the option of being able to say, no, we don't want plastic. We want something that's a little bit more sustainable.
Mm.
It's going to be more beneficial for the long run of our planet, really.
Yeah, I mean, that's really cool. I was just thinking, I was at an event, God, it must have been about 6-7 years ago, something like that, and I overheard someone saying to one of the stall vendors, it's like, oh, have you got something that's not polystyrene for the food? Like chips or jacket potato or whatever they were buying, I can't even remember. But I remember thinking, well, that's a bit weird. Like, it's a bit of an odd question to ask a stall vendor, and of course they didn't have it. Whereas now, if you go out to an event and one of the food vendors got polystyrene, it's almost strange. You're just like, "That's why have you got this?
Yeah,
There's so many better options. You know?
we've come quite a long way in a short period of time as consumers on what we want and how we are going to show this as well. I mean, footfall for certain things just has fallen.
Yeah.
Because people want better, more environmentally friendly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we talked about that before, didn't we, with the whole you vote with your feet, as in there's certain shops that I won't shop in because I've either had bad experience or because they're just really appalling for the environment. And yeah. I'm just not shopping in its
current form.
And, you know, you can't, as one person, you're not going to make a difference, but us sharing reasons why we don't shop in certain places with our friends, our family, and hopefully our audience that we're going to grow, that might make a difference. And that's a big thing. I mean, it's not just for us, it's for our future children. Hopefully we have them. Our future children and their
many generations to come.
Yeah. And hopefully we'll be living in a more greener, sustainable lifestyle.
With bees and chickens.
Oh, with bees and chickens. But no, on a serious note, like, I think with us trying to build ourselves more greener and sustainable, it means that our children will think that's normal. So when they have their children, hopefully that will
just... It should be seen as a normal thing, I think, in my own opinion anyway. It's something that we've kind of lost as a commercialised countries, full stop.
Yeah.
It's not just the one country, it's multiple.
Yeah, no, I agree. We have kind of lost where we're going, as it were.
Yeah.
So it's good that we're kind of bringing it back to the good life, as they call it. but I think there's probably two aspects to what we want to do. We want to do ourselves for our family and our homestead, our little castle, our little centre of our universe. But also in sharing what we're doing, we can hopefully influence others to live in a more greener way, and whether or not
that is possible as well.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even have to up sticks and move to the middle of nowhere. You can start with a tomato plant on a windowsill, you know. It's a good start.
Potatoes in a cardboard box.
Potatoes in a cardboard box, indeed. Fungus on a log.
It all helps.
It all helps, yeah. You're a bit of a fungus fan, aren't you, Mr. Fungi?
Yes, I do like my fungus. Not so much on the eating, just out on the hunting more.
Yeah, I've still got to get you into eating mushrooms. It's just, yeah, someone who loves searching for mushrooms, who just don't like eating them.
Doesn't eat them.
But no, well, hopefully I've been sharing some of the pictures of mushrooms you found on our Instagram page.
Yeah.
So you can all follow our Instagram page. We'll pop, for those watching on YouTube, we're going to pop it on the screen, but it'll be in the show notes for those listening on the podcast. But no, it's nice to see it. We're getting involved in a Fungi Friday, or Fungi Friday if you're American.
Yeah, I find that odd.
different strokes, different folks, isn't it? I'm sure that they found our accent a bit strange, especially yours.
Well, West Country, it's a lovely accent.
It is a lovely accent. You're like a little West Country bumpkin. It's really cute. No. Well, we're hoping to move eventually, though. We're hoping to move to Wales, probably, isn't it?
That's the main goal.
Mm-hmm. Move away from our postage stamp garden.
To something a little bit more self-sustaining for us and more fulfilling.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, we do our best on what we've got, but more space would be lovely. It's not even the bigger house. I mean, the house is small anyway, but like a slightly bigger house would be nice, but it's mostly just
having a little garden. Bit of land to be able to... Mm-hmm. Do our own vegetables and look after our own animals.
Oh, absolutely. Especially as that allotment waiting list is still very, very long.
I think it's always going to be. Everybody wants a piece of green place space where they can grow their own.
I've been on the allotment. I think I'm on two allotment waiting lists nearby, and I've been on them for about 2.5 years now. No movement.
There's going to be a little bit more of a wait for that, I think, my darling.
A little bit more, especially now, considering everyone's trying to get into it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we're setting a trend.
Let's hope so.
So we hope you enjoyed the first episode of the Back to the Good Life podcast. This is our first one, so please feel free to give us some feedback and some comments. Kind, we're working on it. But yeah, we're hoping to make this... Hopefully a podcast.
A regular thing, yes. Yeah, I mean, I'd like to, and be able to get people's feedback as well.
Yeah, sit down and have a chat with people and see how it goes, really.
So for the time being, I would like to sign off with Mr. G and hope that we'll get you come back and hear us all again soon.
I hope so. Please don't forget to like and subscribe. Leave us a review if you can do, wherever you listen to your podcast. And hopefully we'll be back joining you soon. See you later.
Bye.